Provencher ordered him to come out very slowly so the rangers could examine him carefully. With mincing steps, the man emerged from the maintenance shed holding up an old Life magazine he'd just been reading that was now lanced with a fresh bullet hole. "Get to the main gate," Provencher cried as gently as he could under the circumstances. The prisoner, still blanched with fright, stumbled nervously in serpentine fashion toward the front of the compound. While the riflemen maintained a constant wall of fire, a bazooka team, led by a staff sergeant from Texas named Manton Stewart, sprinted farther down the same central road and came to a halt directly across from the corrugated sheds that Bill Nellist had spotted earlier in the day. They were so far back in the compound that they could clearly see the muzzle flashes of F Company as they riddled the rear barracks. Stewart crouched in the gravel and hoisted an ungainly steel pipe to his shoulder. Another ranger inserted a finned 3.5-pound rocket into the rear of the smooth-bore tube and rapped Stewart on the arm when it was loaded. Stewart swiveled the launcher in the direction of the sheds and was about to mash the trigger when he detected a movement in his peripheral vision. A long-bed truck, packed with Imperial Army soldiers, was chuffing beside the shed. The driver had just switched on the ignition and was desperately pulling out, evidently with the intention of fleeing the camp while there was still a chance. Stewart squeezed the trigger, which ignited the electric fuse, and in a bright, steady arc, the self-propelled rocket fizzed across the compound, striking the body of the truck and piercing its engine block. Within seconds, the vehicle had been reduced to a pyre of exploding fuel, shattered glass, and melted rubber. Several dozen injured men, some of whom had been set aflame, crawled half alive from the carcass of the truck, only to be finished off by ranger gunfire. They were pitifully easy targets, clearly silhouetted in the flames. Then Stewart turned back to his original target, the galvanized metal sheds that were believed to house Japanese tanks. It was imperative that he attack the garages before the Japanese had a chance to start up their tanks and put them to deadly use. With several bursts, Stewart's bazooka was able to puncture and destroy the thin-skinned buildings, and whatever vehicles were stowed inside. The structures warped and yawed in the billowing flames before collapsing into mangled heaps. Better able to see in the waxing light of the fires, several of the rangers thought they glimpsed tanks. Stewart fired in that direction, and by most accounts scored a direct hit. No longer having to concern themselves with the specter of tanks raging through camp, C Company could now turn to the most satisfying aspect of the evening's work, storming the Bastille. A group of rangers ran toward the American section of the compound, brandishing wire cutters. A ranger named Lester Malone ran up to the main American gate and inspected the lock. He took two steps back and fired his M1. Then Malone yanked off the lock and opened up the gates to the American prison. "We're Yanks," he yelled. "This is a prison break. Head for the main gate." At first, the prisoners failed to understand. They were too mentally brittle to process the chaos. Fearing the worst, they took refuge in the barest and most pitiful of hiding places. To one ranger, who had sliced his way through the fence with wire cutters, the inmates of Cabanatuan looked like scared vermin scattering for cover after you switch on the kitchen lights. They huddled in corners, cowered in black water ditches, lurked behind frail bamboo posts, praying for a slimness that even they could not affect. Some were literally scurrying from their deliverers. At least one prisoner wet himself. Still others were praying and running around in circles, as A.B. Abraham recalled, because they didn't know where to run to. Ranger Alvy Robbins almost bayoneted one of the terrified prisoners who sprinted around the corner of a NEPA building and surprised him. "I didn't recognize him as being American," said Robbins. "I thought he could have been Japanese. The adrenaline was flowing, the battle was raging, it was dark outside. I raised my rifle and came within an instant of running that bayonet right through him." To the prisoners, the scene didn't make sense. There were troops running from barracks to barracks. Dim forms crouched along the camp's dirt pathways. They were gesturing wildly, shouting orders. "Buddy, you're free," a voice said. "Up quick and get over to the gate. You're a soldier again."